Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Central Stadium, an iconic sporting venue. As part of a major fundraising drive, My Stadium Seat is offering you the chance to place your name or the name of someone who loves GAA on a seat at the Field of Legends. Packages from €100 include seat naming plaques, certs of authenticity, online biographies, and open day tickets. Show your support or make someone's Christmas. Visit mystadiumseat.com. Semple Stadium, where every name matters.
Hello and welcome to episode 66 of the Premier Review GAA Tipperary GAA podcast. I'm Enda Tracy and tonight I'm joined by Sean Smith of Turtle Sarsfield as usual. And we're delighted to have a new recruit on the podcast from South Tip. Don't hold it against him. Stephen Cronin from Carrick Davin. Stephen, how are you going?
Good. Thanks very much. Thanks for having me, lads.
Lovely. So we've plenty to get through, lads. So we won't hang about. We'll go first to the stuff, the action at the weekend between Loughmore and Ballygunner. Another defeat for Ballygunner, Sean, off the back of winning the two county titles after losing to Aerog in the football the week before. It was a bit of a disjointed game with everything that was going on in the middle of the pitch. How did you find it?
Strange. It's hard to know, The ref, you can call it the ref all day long, but as I say, if you give the referee or linesman an opportunity to send you off, he could send you off. It happened low with Owens against Cratlow. Dennis Margaret sent off. Very similar thing. Touched him in the chest. Very hard game turned. Loughmore, when Noah got sent off there at the start, I was like, they've no way back into this game. Hutchinson was the only man for Ballygunner that really was dangerous. O'Keefe kept him in the game, to be honest, as well. But Loughmore just do what Loughmore do. They could have won it. That penalty goes in, they win the game, I think. Yeah. So it's swings and roundabouts. But if you give the ref a chance to send you off, it's very, very harsh. But it's fucking, that's the way it is. It happens. And we got road 1 year, Loughmore got road. But you just, the two of their main players, Noah and John, you can't say any team lose one or two players, no matter who they are, but still, though. To the King things Loughmore down to 13 and it's still nearly held on, but unlucky to be sick and over.
We're going to talk a lot about Johnny Murphy when we're analysing this, lads. Stephen, what did it ruin the game? Did Loughmore have the beating of them if they had kept those two McGraths on the field?
Well, I felt when Noel got sent off, Loughmore, it looked like they played better. The grit between the teeth and said, right, we'll drive on here, but against the ref, the linesman. In fairness to Johnny Murphy, he relied on the linesman And then his umpires for the second sending off. But it just seemed to galvanize him. And Liam McGrath is at 11. I just thought he just roared into the game at that stage. And it just felt like they said, right, work rate goes up. Whatever happens, happens. And to be honest, I think Ballygunner were very lucky that Loughmore had a couple of lads sent off, and they can feel very lucky to come out of the game. Just want to go back to the point of if you give the ref what was the saying if you give him an opportunity to send you off or things like, I don't agree with that unless the hurley is raised, because I think there's an element of physicality in the game, and I think if we go down the route of if they are red cards. And if you give the referee an option and this thing, if they are red cards, lads, we're moving to a Cork style of hurling where it's no tackling, no physicality. I know technically, yeah, he gave him a trolling to it, but he received one just previous to it. And you have to be able to kind of stand up for yourself and kind of have your own back as well if the referee is not going to have your own back. If you understand, if you get what I'm trying to say, like, he didn't use the hurley, he didn't go with the hurley, and the linesman, assuming he did, I think you can't assume it unless you see it. It's a yellow card, and I just thought it ruined the game. It ruined the spectacle for everyone. And but fair play to Loughmore, they really upped the work rate afterwards, and they cut out the space in front of Desi Hutchinson, who was a handful for anyone, and he was looking awesome the other night. But you know, it took away the spectacle of the game. They were chasing the game from the get-go, then afterwards.
Hutchinson was in ridiculous form, Sean, wasn't he? Strange decision, I felt, that Larkin Egan, I know, look, if you have that space in front of you and you have Desi Hutchinson in front of you and the ball's going in well, and there's not too many cornerbacks that are going to be able to stop him, but they left Larkin Egan on him for the whole game. Did you think a move should have been made there?
Yeah, they could have moved, but like Hutchinson was quite now and then. Quarter final was like, no, I know Ballygun walked that game. It wasn't exactly flying all cylinders that day. And Loughmore thought, I might get away with it, but the space he got in his turning, he got the ball in his hand, he's gone again. As in the second half, when he got some of the fun from it, wasn't clinical, but they could have spotted it out earlier. But they kind of so much things on around the field with sending off that they were trying to do 10 things at once, and they're getting scores one and going in half time, 2 points down. I know most of their scores are freeze in the first half. Like, they're like, we're right in this game. And just one thing there, the relation, just back to Stephen there, saying about linesman. So it's weird the way the ref didn't go to linesman at the camera side, who would have had seen front on Noel. He went to the referee,
yeah,
who would have had looking at both of their backs, which was strange as well, I thought. Like, no, so it's one of these things where, like, a TMO there would have seen it in 2 minutes. Done. You know, there's really no answer, you know, so. Well, like, especially in these kind of games where it's such a vital game, like, whatever about a club mid game or south game, but like, even at this level, like, when the cameras are there, different angles, they should have a quick look or someone aside and look at it and go, hey, or cop on there, like, you know.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think, at this level, especially, look, we won't get away with it at lower level club games and down through the ages, but at this level, there's nothing in it for a neutral person, a neutral ref, maybe, to have a laptop on the go where he's watching the same match that we're watching, you know, and to be able to say 30 seconds, hey, look, shoulder, there was a bit of handbags, let's call it, yellow card, two of them, done. And would have took the referee out of the fire line, because as angry as I was at the weekend, I'm not even a Loughmore man, but as angry as I was at the weekend with the performance, to these linesmen and his umpires that I thought put him in the mental pot, put him in the controversial chat, basically, and they let him down big time. They let the referee down big time.
Yeah, I definitely have a certain amount of sympathy for Johnny Murphy. Look, he's not done us any favours in years gone by when he's ref tip matches, but at the end of the day, he was only taking advice from the umpires and the linesmen. And like, he was getting some dog abuse, lads. It really wasn't on Twitter. Like, it was gone way overboard. But
he just showed the cards. He didn't actually, he took on board what he was told. Like, you know, again, play actor with Ballygunner, which was fucking exceptional, honestly. That was panto stuff, like, you know.
Yeah, we'll come on to that now. And especially for the John McGrath red card. Like, whatever about your man at the Levy's, Noel, you hit him a fair shoulder. Look, he could have probably not made as big of a meal of it as he did. But Parry Coughlin made a show of himself there, as far as I'm concerned, Sean.
Yeah, oh, he did, yeah. He went down, and the worst of the two lads running to umpire to tell him that he went down. Like, you know, that stuff you see, it's fucking Man City, they're playing soccer, like in PSG, like, this is, it's rotten, like, you know, like, it's probably a yellow card, but geez, he mightn't have given it, you know, he mightn't have, only for the play acting and the bollocksology that went on, he gave it, he mightn't have given it, he might have thrown the ball in or something, you know.
And that was a vital stage, Stephen. After winning a penalty, 4 points down, they really had a head of steam built up. That goes in, it goes down to a point, 14 men on the field. Could have been a different game.
Exactly, and the fact that they couldn't shake him off as well, it's in the back of their head, can't get rid of these, and it, John McGrath gets a penalty there. Look, maybe he might not have scored, who knows? But had he scored that, you know, like, the momentum was with Lochmore, the dander was up, like, Ballygona were under pressure, and it just could have had a huge bearing on the game. But just in that incident there, there should something come of it where when he held on to the ball, John McGrath's looking to get his penalty. He can't take the penalty until the ref says so, but he's looking to get the penalty to keep momentum going, keep their flow going. If a defender stops you from getting the ball, there has to be some sort of, like, you should be allowed to go take that ball. In soccer, if you're 2 goals down and you score a goal and the goalie is acting the maggot, not giving you the ball back so you can take a quick kickoff, he's getting a yellow card. He has to let go of that ball straight away. There has to be something like this, I think, in hurling, which was highlighted today. You leave go of the ball, you drop, or else there has to be a repercussion. And John McGrath barely touched. He barely touched. And the two boys ran screaming to the umpires. He broke his hand. I know they did that. It was hers. And that's there's no place in hurling for that. No place whatsoever.
Yeah.
The last minute of a game, trying to buy a free when you're a point up or something, you know, you might dive, or I have no issue with things like that. Like, you know, you win it up, but early in the game, diving around the place and going screeching to the umpire is that he's at the break in his hand. Like, that's not part of the game at all. And it's not part of it at all.
Yeah, in the context of winning that game now, I know from a few people I'd have talked to that Ballygunner are probably a neutral favourite, lads that are always contesting Munster titles. A lot of people probably wanted them to win in All-Ireland, but after that, they seem that's gone out the window now, and it might be a hindrance to them going forward.
Absolutely. I a couple of years ago when they played Ballyhea down in Welch Park, I went down to Washington, I was supporting Ballygunner, I wanted to see him do well. And unless they're playing a tip team, and yeah, probably I'd like to see him do. They're a big club, they do a lot of great work, and you would like to see him do well. And I'll tell you straight, I'll be a Kilmallock fan next week. There's no way, or whenever it's on, there's no way I'll support Ballygunner if that's the kind of play acting they're going to be at. Unfortunately, that's what's going to follow him now for the rest of the year.
They knew they were in trouble, like, they knew they were on the wire, like, they knew they had to do this shit to win the game. That's, they're shitting themselves, like, okay, he's missed that penalty, like, showed the nerves as well, like, you know, usually you stick them in the corner, you know, you try to roll in bottom corner and dash, you know, didn't work, like, they were under huge pressure, so they tried every trick in the book, like, and they pulled out the dirty trick book then, like.
Yeah. Sean, it kind of reminds me of, remember the Waterford tip under 20 game from last year?
Yeah.
Waterford were 8 or 9 points up, and there was a full 20 minutes to play, and they were trying to go down injured and hold up the match.
Cramps, yeah. Yeah, was that a fair field as well, or was it?
Yeah, it was.
Corner cramps, injuries, and losing balls and puck outs. And,
It seems to be a thing down there with teams doing that. They'll get no look for it anyway. But when John McGrath got sent off, Sean, in fairness to Lochmore, they stayed coming, made a few subs. Kieran Connolly really stormed into the game in the second half. He was just very, 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 very good. And Liam McGrath, Stephen was saying earlier, they worked very hard to try and make up for the numerical disadvantage. But after John McGrath got sent off, there was really no goal threat up there.
No, there wasn't none. He was a two-come man. He was, even the work he did when he was trying to stop the ball coming out, he was there, like, with down one man are fine, down two, it was game over. Ballygunner knew what to do. The conditions got awful. As a matter of seeing the game off Ballygunner, even trying to watch the match on telly, we're looking at it from behind the goals, the camera so wet on the side, you know. So Ballygunner knew then that was a matter of seeing it out, keeping the ball and playing possession, and they won it well in the end, you know, comfortably, like. But it was turning point of the penalty, like, was, to be honest. Lochmore would have won, I think, if they scored that penalty.
And that's all she wrote for Lochmore this year. It was a pretty good year, in fairness. You can't really be too disappointed. I know the manner of the defeat was probably going to irk some people, but from a Tipperary perspective, lads, when I was just cooling down after watching the match, I was thinking to myself, this is probably a good result to give the McGraths a fairly good break.
Yeah, I'd agree. Look, it is well known that John probably wasn't himself the last couple of years, but John McGrath this year playing for Lochmore was just simply sensation. And if we can get that John McGrath back on the hurling field for Tipperary, it's only going to be a positive. And look, to put the Tip jersey on, be a little bit selfish in that regard, you'd be glad he had a rest. You'd be glad he gets a nice good. Same with Noel McGrath. You'd be glad, because they're on the go. Like, how many championship matches have they played the last 2 years? Like, it's just been phenomenal. I wouldn't think any other club has played as many. And if we just put our Tip hats on there, we want them boys fresh. We want them boys fresh next year. And they did the business in Tipperary. Unfortunately, it didn't work out in Munster. Now they can rest and get ready for Tip again.
I know Sean was happy to see them knocked out anyway, not to rest in the grass, just in general.
Sorry, and Noel McGrath's getting married as well next week, so I said a little right session. I said to make up for last month, but they couldn't do much.
Yeah.
Well earned.
Well earned is right. All right, so we'll move on now. Lochmore weren't the only team in club action. Last weekend, we had Skeena Rinke in the Munster semi-final against the Gunlaw. A savage win for them lads after extra time, 2-16 to 1-16. They looked to have the match wrapped up in normal time, but Gunlaw got a last-minute goal in normal time. But they dug it out in the end. Stephen, you'd have a good idea of the Skeena Rinke lads. It's fairy tale stuff now into a Munster final.
Yeah. We played them there in 2019 and in a semi final. They bet us in a south final, sorry, after a replay. And they stay going, in fairness to them. Like, you know, the other crowds getting the last minute goal, but they stay going. And they did it to us twice. They stayed going. I think we were 6 points up in the first day. They got a couple of late goals. Then the second day, then they got, I think young Vaughan, I think, kicked the winner. The hurley might have fell out of it, but they just stayed going, and they were a good team. And I think they were caught in the hop, and the following week might have over celebrated that night, who knows. But they were caught then the following week, and to see him do the business there now, and especially when they've been there thereabouts in the juniors last few years, to see him win the county and go along and do so what we would have loved to have done 2 years ago, but unfortunately we wasn't able. And they're going along now, and they're in the Munster final. Or is it Munster final stage now, Drash? They're in the Munster final. And look, I know that the lads tell you there, it's only junior and it's only they're in the Munster final representing their club, representing the county lads. It's a huge honour. It's a huge honour. Fair play to them.
Absolutely, yeah. And just seen there earlier today that match is fixed for January the 9th, I think. So they're playing Ballygiblin of Cork, which I think is fairly. There's only two parishes over from Skeena Rinke. Do you know, Stephen?
Yeah, it's to be local enough to each other, like, you know, there'd be a few lads know each other on them teams, and with Connor, I know Connor's the football star and all that, like, but he'll bring big game experience to Skeena Rinke now. Like, he's won a Munster title with Tipperary, so he understands the big day, and he'll have them lads. He'll have them lads relaxed and focused, and just look, it is their first Munster final, so they're going to be nervous. But he's been there, done that for Tipperary, so he'll have them boys raring to go on the day, and add in the little bit of a locality and the local rivalry of it. This should be a cracking day.
And there's an interesting subplot there as well. Colin English, that played underage for Tipperary, is playing for Ballygiblin. After transferring from Father Sheehy's, and Father Sheehy's is actually the parish in between Ballygiblin and Skeena Rinke, which is funny. I think someone put it up on Premier View. So that'll be interesting. It'll be great to see. Look, sure, we're not laden with Munster titles in Tipperary the last 15, 20 years. So it'll be great to see Skeena Rinke get over the line in that one.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
Right, so we'll move on, boys, to the Miller Shield. Concluded last week since we were last on. West Tipperary pulling out a victory against the South in Cashel to clinch the title. Sean, I don't know how much you've seen or didn't see in Stephen the same, but from what you're hearing, who are the candidates that stood out in these games?
Only seen very little of Jonas now. With our own match and stuff, get ready, but talking to lads, it was a good experiment. Thought one of the best actually all the games, and goes, it's great to even go to matches. Something for him to do. And he said some of the players, like, he heard things about him and didn't perform, or otherwise heard things of some players and performed, like Reece Shelley and Goa, as there, he heard, is exceptional. Like, so he's one they could puck in. Like, other than that, not many names kind of standing out. Like, it'll be the same for lads, but again, as we said, if you get three or four in from this, you're probably missing some of your bigger teams, like Third Stars and no lads in on that. We had heard Conor Stakel and Dennis Marr called into the training panel, so there are a few lads that weren't playing that are at the business in the championship that would probably be called in, but it's a fair old trial out here. Yeah.
Stephen, did you get to see any games?
Yeah, I got to see the first game, and I'm unfortunately working for the second two games. But according to reports now, I'm only saying it, the two Davin lads were supposed to be brilliant.
We'll take that on board.
So, but no, I was up in the first game, South versus North, and after the North, they were littered with a lot of the big players. There must have been six or seven inter-county lads there, and you could see it. You could see it a mile away, especially with Barry Heffernan. You know, like, what you expect of your inter-county lads is you want them to stand out in a club game. Now, I know Miller Shield is divisional, but they stand out. And it was excellent viewing at that time of year. And for the South, the South has some nice performers that day as well. And, like, if they can get... I think this is a fantastic opportunity for whoever's taking part in these games, that if they can add even to the training panel, you know, it's a positive out of the Miller Shield, you know, and maybe they might get one or two players that we might not necessarily think as spectators. I know, so what would he have? Like, but when he's up in, if he gets a call up to Dr. Morris Park there might be something that we're lacking somewhere that one person could just bring that we don't know about. And look, at the end of the day, it's hurling games, and it's kind of, it's your division. It's just the best of your divisions. I know the mid were down a good few now, and but it's there's no negative involved in it whatsoever. And I think it was the game I got to see now, the South. Now, unfortunately, the North were too strong for him and pulled away rightly in the second half, but it was just, it's great feeling, like, you know, and I think it's a great idea. It's something I'd like for it to stay. If they're not going to use it as an old shop window thing for Tip, it's a great idea for just bring back that divisional competition, and rather than have just all young fellas or all, pick the best lads there, because I know some clubs, the lads wasn't available and during the last stages of the county, but just go ahead with it every year, I'd be saying. Go ahead with it. I think it's a great initiative to start back up again. And look, anyone that's getting exposed to that kind of level, it's one more step up from just your club, if you get me. And yes, if they do get a call in, they're getting exposed to the big games, you know, and getting matches against the likes of Barry Heffernan, they can only approve you.
Yeah, it's hard to see a downside there, and it's for a good cause as well. So just from my viewing of it, probably the biggest performance on it were Dylan Cork at wing back for the West. Was, geez, in all the games I've seen him, he was very good, especially against the South in the last game, just powering out with ball, and he got a great score, and he's very physical, he's big in the air. You'd wonder, was that year in 18 that Clonalty won the county a hindrance to him, because he played so well up centre forward for them, and that kind of slotted him in there for exposure with Tip. But he was an excellent wing back from under 21, as we all know, when they won the All Ireland. So he looks like he could get a bit of game time there. Alan Tynan was good in the game and a half that he got to play before. Well, he was playing well against the South the first day, Stephen, and Barry Heffernan decided to concuss him and himself before half time. He was motoring very well that day, and he's just a go heck of a lad. That's a real athlete, and he's hurling and
strong, very very strong too.
Very strong. You can see from his rugby exposure, he's a big unit, and he's well able to travel with the ball, and he looks like a lad that'd slot in well with the hurling that teams are playing these days. Other than that, in terms of performances, it's hard to pick anyone else out. Like the management maybe will see somebody and think they can work on them, but I think it's more about Sean. It's probably more as much about getting the lads that have been on the fringes of the panel for the last 2 years a bit of exposure to play in a more competitive game before the tip action comes back around.
Yeah, and kind of Steve mentioned there kind of one thing in relation to like the South, not the same for South, but like a lot of them players might have kind of got the chance maybe not playing a senior club level. And they're getting a chance to like Davos as getting to play an opportunity in there. And like that's always something going to help and like going forward, something like should always look at like whether the lads they're given a chance and even wanting to train and panel or ever or kind of into a kind of B setup or something. But it's definitely going to help tip like and they're kind of changing structures with new conditioning going on. And we have to approach something different. Like, so you know, Limerick are doing something different. Why can't we do something differently?
Exactly, yeah. So that was a very good a good couple of weeks, and it was well worth getting up early on Saturday mornings to go to. We'll see what comes of it when we see the first panel that Colin Bonner announces there.
Central Stadium, an iconic sporting venue. As part of a major fundraising drive, My Stadium Seat is offering you the chance to place your name or the name of someone who loves GAA on a seat at the Field of Legends. Packages from €100 include seat naming plaques, certs of authenticity, online biographies, and open day tickets. Show your support or make someone's Christmas. Visit mystadiumseat.com. Semple Stadium, where every name matters.
And that'll bring us nicely into the pre-season competition. So the pre-season Munster hurling and football competitions were drawn last week. The hurlers in the Munster Hurling League, is it now? Not the Waterford Crystal anymore. So they were drawn against Kerry in the quarter-final. That'll be the first game. And should they win that, which we expect they should, it'll be Limerick in the semi-final then. Sean, it's not really something I wanted, was another pre-season competition squeezed into 7 months now with the split season. Do you think this is this necessary?
I don't really think so. I think, like, what kind of team are we putting out? We're going to point out our the lads are playing in the middle, she give them a go. Like, I'd rather see them play kind of in-house on our team training and kind of see more stuff or even play challenge matches. They may have more up against stronger teams, like teams pull out of these events, but it's hard to know. Like, they're kind of at the end of their rope, not to be honest, but they're squashed. I mean, injuries could happen. I know injury could happen on here, but still, it's just better to see lads and train and work it out from there and in-house matches or playing challenge games against Kenny's or Cork's, whatever, you know, like.
And Stephen, no Cork in this competition because they're gone on their holidays. Just kind of a highlight of how important these competitions are and glorified challenge matches, are you?
Yeah, exactly. And to just to touch back to the Miller Shield, being a step above some games that club players might play. I'd use this to the lads that were called in off the Miller Shield performances, all the lads that are in training now, that wouldn't be exposed to even the summertime training with all the new lads that are brought in, all the very inexperienced, they're the lads I'd use in this. Give them experience of playing for Tipperary it's an official competition. It's in the muck of winter, but it's still experience of the match day prep, what's involved, what's expected. Because, look, if we get a result there that Tipper have to be bet by Kerry, we're going to go into meltdown. Even Tipperary are terrible. We're going to get everyone to be given out about them, get rid of the manager. But allow these lads to play. Allow the lads that are in their training now. They might not necessarily make the panel for the summer, but give them that exposure now. Give them games. They're the lads I think should be playing these if we're entered, play them lads in it. I know a few years ago, cousin of mine, Richard McGrath, when he was under 21, they put the under 21 team into the Waterford Crystal, and they ended up playing the Waterford senior team in the Waterford Crystal. But if it was still called that, just must be 15, 16 years ago now, you know. And rather than burden the senior players that are there all year and it's an extra games from, put out the young lads that are fresh onto the panel, give them exposure to the match day situation, give them exposure to wearing the Tipperary jersey and what's expected of them. And, you know, what they might make the panel this year, but that little bit there could help next year, you know. And I don't think even someone like, let's say someone trying to break onto the team, like Marky Ho, he shouldn't be playing that game. You know, like, let the lads that are coming in now, that brand new into it, let them, because if they're, it could bring them on a small bit, even if it's only to train them with the Tip Boys for the next couple of months. That's all, they're the only people I'd be playing. And I don't mean it in a disrespectful way to them lads. They're brand new into the Tipperary setup, give them that little bit of exposure before throwing them in against Kilkenny in the National League, if you get me.
Yeah. Just in terms of the game itself, Sean, what do you see getting lined out against Kerry? Do we have one or two experiences that haven't hurled in a few months since they've been knocked out, mixed in with a lot of lads on the fringes, or how is Colm going to approach this?
Stephen said there, I'd like to see lads that came from the Miller kind of panels there, and lads that are on the fringe up for under 21 and that going in. You don't want to see Ronan Parrick, Noel, John, Jamie. Like, you don't want to see any of them lads. No, Barrett even, like Barry Heffern. Like, they're the lads that have been around. We know what to get from them. As Stephen said, even the match day experience there, Stanton lads going on, putting on a tip jersey, being on time, all that kind of small things like that will add. Like, you need to get a good structure in place. And, like, this one place is starting, and if you can't show it against Kerry, you know, it's one game of that, but if you're going to get dogged out of it, then you might be up to it. But just give them lads a chance again, and come February then, you kind of know what I have then from the games you've had already, to be training or starting doing their things last Wednesday, then these two matches as well. So if it helps, it helps. Why wouldn't putting out any of our main lads that have all Ireland medals in the pocket, innit?
Like, when I was up at the North and the South match, and is it in the Dunphy from St. Mary's? Dunphy, I think he's a fantastic goalie. His distribution is excellent. And in the other goal then
Brian Hogan.
Brian Hogan don't need to be playing that game. But if Enda Dunphy was playing the game, now, not the West or the Mid might have had a better goalie. But just for example, if Enda Dunphy was playing that game, wouldn't Colin Bonner get to see what he's like in a Tip setup, and it exposes him then to a higher level of hurling as well. And as I said, what you do in the morning, what you do in the night before, like, all these lads, then they're getting that experience. I know they were all on minors and under 21s, but again, the senior is different. And I think no point in having Brian Hogan at that match, even though Brian, if he's not the number one for Tip, don't need it. Yeah. Play in the Dunphy, for an example, you know, and even our own lads, we've Conor Whelan in training with the seniors now. Play Conor at it. Expose him to these. To these games, you know, as I said, if we see Ronan Marr down there or Noel McGrath, or not Noel McGrath, but if we see them kind of lads down there, like, we're like, when is the time for the young lads to get this exposure, you know? And yeah. I hope Colin Bonner don't go down that route of playing the lads that were there tried and trusted too early, you know. Give the young fellas exposure. Make them push the boys to earn back to keep the pace. That's what we want. We want 30 lads compete for 15 places.
Exactly, yeah. And look, it's not long coming back around anyway, so that's fixed, I think, for the second weekend in January. And the footballers as well were drawn out in the McGrath Cup, lads, just briefly. Kerry and Limerick in a three group, and the top team in each group goes into a final. It's interesting for the footballers now, after the whole kerfuffle with the structures for the football championship. You would have thought before the Munster draw, it's going to be a short year, two games, one qualifier. But the way the draw is lined up for Tip now, they have something really to build into, and they'll be using the McGrath Cup games, Sean, to to build up and get a bit of confidence going as they go into the Munster campaign?
Yeah, footballers need to kind of get that bit of buzz back into them again. I do say there's a chance there a draw is falling for them to go on this year and kind of drive on and see something, but we kind of need to go on an upward curve in football now. One thing of football is going to end up in them lower leagues, like you'll be stuck down there in a rut. And like you see there, like we've teams like Lochmore and Give Clear in club game, we went through, and no, they're all kind of talking lips, like, and Lochmore lads aren't even on the football panel, like, but it shows like Watson tip and put the mind to, like we did there to win the month's title, that they can drive on from them positions if they get going right.
There's plenty to motivate them, Stephen, going into the league, relegated to Division 4 last year. Surely will be looking to win a lot of games and that, and try to get promotion back up. And then, look, if the Munster final from 2 years ago is anything to go by, there's always the capability of an upset and maybe even avoiding Kerry again. So there's plenty to look forward to for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, there's talent there. Like, you know, it's just, unfortunately, we're not a top tier football county. But if they can get a bit of momentum going, momentum is huge. Lochmore is the best example of get that momentum going, get the positive results, get the feeling good, and you know, hopefully start working our way up. And who knows, we might have another year like we did a couple of years ago. And as avoid Kerry, I don't think Tip then fear. I wouldn't think they'd fear anyone really else in a Munster Championship game. I think everyone needs to just avoid Kerry first.
Kerry are obviously the kingpins there, so hopefully they get to Munster final anyway, and anything can happen at that stage. Moving on now, lads. So, under 21 action still going on in a lot of the divisions. Sean, you're down to semi final stages.
Yeah, down to semi finals in the mid there. Drum defeat ourselves there on a Sunday morning there in the rag after extra time. They pulled away in the end. We're 4 points up with about 2 minutes on the clock. And Drum hit a free and looking back in the net, they scored another free and level it. Went extra time and Drum's kind of power and strength shine through in the end. Then they were bigger, hurly lads, more lads up to the age for the dirty day it was. So they're going to end up playing Holy Cross in the mid-semi. That's fixed for Stephen's Day, and we've Mine and McCarrick on the other side there. So I'd fancy it'll be the winners of Drum and Holy Cross there that'll go a long way in this competition. It's hard to know. Conditions, again, play a vital part there. So and it's last year the competition probably thought it would be nice to win it for ourselves, but at this point kind of finished the year. Paddy Crean was well held. Dar Sacklin was exceptional again for other. I was like, you know, so we only think it was two lads up to the age. So it's a young team, and a lot of them are 19 and 20 and they go again, but experience, but drum of a solid team, to be honest. They're big lads, they've some great hurlers, versus the champions, like, so they'll take a bit of beating. But Holy Cross, we'll be there with the right hurlers as well. So that'll be a humdinger of a game on Stephen's Day for sure in the mid.
It's nice to see you lose something anyway, Sean, for the year that was in it.
Thanks. No harm.
Stephen, down south, look, you're obviously behind. We're going to see that. What stage are you at there?
I knew it was coming.
It's in groups, is it?
They're at the semi-final stage. But with the, I think there was the last few weeks with pitchers unavailable and refs unavailable, I've heard on good authority that semi-finals are going to be played Stephen's morning.
Okay.
So they'll get there. So just they get there behind the rest of the divisions.
Yeah. And in the north, we have the under 21B final this weekend. It's on Saturday. Portrow taking on Ballinahinch, Temple Derry. And we have the under 21A semi-final between Nina and Kildang. That was postponed last week. After the death of Kieran Fishty Delaney, and we send our condolences to his family. Obviously, it's very sad. But the hurling's got to go on, and the under 21s are going to be, look, we're late in the year, but they'll get played eventually. Moving on, so lads, we also had the county committee meeting. I think it was Monday night. So obviously, the big news from a Tip supporters' perspective coming from that is the partnership with Satanta College, Sean. Des Ryan involved, a former Arsenal sports scientist. He's going to be heading up all the programming for underage teams and senior teams. This is something we've been crying out for, and it's very welcome, isn't it?
Oh yeah, for sure. And I'd have kind of a beware stand here a long time during town there. They moved into our clubhouse gym there since last number of years as well. So they're an exceptional organization. Like you fear, they have some of the top coaches in the planet. And they have graduates coming through them. They're getting the big jobs, whether it's in Ireland, England, South America, wherever they are. You know, so it's on the doorstep of Semba Stadium. They've put in big money into the handball alleys, fully kitted out for tip teams only as well, like so, which is stone throw from Dr. Morris. So it's all there, facilities are there. Our underage are kind of in our own club out there the last number of Wednesdays and evenings doing sessions. There's big numbers going in, and I see lads mingling outside. You know, they're enjoying it, they're going in, they're getting workout, they're coming out, and they feel part for drawing or tip drawers with tip gear. You know, so it's kind of getting them into the kind of tip setup, how professional it can be like at a young age, and it's great to see. So it's a positive thing for sure. Like, and when you have someone like Stan backing it that have Park Harrington needs on the books, like, it has to be a positive thing.
And we've been kind of been behind the eight ball on this, Stephen. We see what Limerick have done the last 10 years. They've kind of a streamlined pathway into the senior panel, and everyone knows what they're doing. They've had exposure to the gym and strength and conditioning. Is this a big deal for TIP? Is this something we badly needed?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're probably 10 years behind, and we'll see the fruition of this maybe in 10 years' time when it's athletes, when there are athletes coming out. And I just, like, we are behind. Even to starting this year, but other counties have got on board of what Limerick were doing, and they've started it already. I know down in Waterford they have it started with a year now. You know, the little lads are going in there to get the coaching. The dash is all being stored. And in fairness, it's been said on Premier View an awful lot for a long time that it's something that should have been done. You know, it's not only a new thing that's been said the last couple of months. And yes, thankfully, yeah, this has been said in a long time. And it's like, you can't have a coach training a 14-year-old, 15, 16-year-old or minors, and they're doing certain exercises and certain S&Cs, and then just going in and doing a totally different program at 21. It has to be streamlined. He has to be moving from A to B, C, D, all the way up along. So when they're young lads, then when they go into the senior setup, they're ready only for experience. Like, there's no, like, Jake Morris came on the scene there a couple of years ago, everyone knew he had talent, but he didn't have the S&C behind him. He didn't have the physical. And it's a different animal when you watch someone, a young lad at the inter-county level, when everyone around him is just a monster. It's just a machine. We'll be hoping when our lads start making the transition, they're already there. You know, it's just to gain experience, to gain, you know, and I think it's a fantastic, and especially then, as he said, it is on the doorstep now of Dr. Morris Park. It is there. We have the best in the business running it. Like, I think it's a brilliant, brilliant time for Tipperary Hurling.
Do we see any short-term benefits from this, Sean? Or is this just something that's going to benefit us 5-10 years down the line?
Short term will surely help as well. Like, you kind of have, as Steve said, it's on our doorstep there. Still, he's rolling one going, a lad can win there instead of going to Dr. Morris training. Like, lads are coming away from the 21 and underage set up into senior next year. We'll be doing the same kind of workouts, same routine in the gym, be with the same kind of coach just a lot of time. You know, the coach will be intermingling with each other. It'll be an easy swap over. So, like, it's kind of a long term goal, but you'd hope straight away, like, to be honest, I hope that even young guys are in there the last number of weeks that come next April, May, they look bigger, they look stronger. Like, a couple months of programs and that with underage teams, you want to kind of be filling the jerseys. And if you look a bit bigger, then that's positive from that side of view. And It just seems all positive up above when I see young guys coming up. You just seem enjoying it, they're happy. And just something that I haven't seen with that kind of underage team, Dr. Morris and the fucking slogging in the rain there, hitting the wall off the wall, like in November. Yeah. I don't know whether it's doing that in form, like whether they're in the gym. Inside working on something that you can work on this time of year, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And it brings what they're after doing, it brings that element of professionalism, the element of we know what we're doing long term. I think the short term, you might not see massive size difference between a young lad going in there now and in 6 months' time, but the core and the flexibility and injury prevention, that's the That's the short-term impact straight away. They'll have a better understanding of what they should and shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
Like, as the brother said to me one of the days, if all these lads are going to the gym in their own time, in their own parish, and he's, what do they call it? Ego. They'll be doing ego weights. You know, they'll be lifting big, massive, heavy weights, and it's all wrong. But they're going to be getting some education off the lads that are there. And it's just, I think it's just going to look, it's already after bringing positive talk around just the supporters around the county. Imagine if you were involved in it, if you were one of the players that's getting it, you'd be buzzing going in and out of Turles.
Yeah, it's definitely exciting considering, look, I don't know what you think, but we still have a lot of young lads ready to come onto the scene that have serious hurling ability. That's unquestioned.
If they
can get that S&C on board and get a good base. Jesus, it bode very well for us, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so lads, there was other stuff there. Sean, I'll ask you about the Turles Gaels motion to stop second teams being entered at any age. It was defeated by a big majority. This was never going to take off, was it?
No, it was a pure dig at Turles Arse, to be honest, that's all it was. Not in it. Couldn't make it out. You're the 9 players that we have that couldn't play. Be under 19, be under 21. I know we didn't win many of them games, but they're still giving lads games. They won't get a game otherwise. Like, you've panels 30 lads there, and even young lads that might be 18, 19 that aren't on set up then at under 19 are going in playing B21. I know 21 is gone, but it's just, I couldn't work out the logic behind other than the pure. I won't say the worst man is now, but you know what I mean.
And then we get a good reaction out of you on that one. Just other things off of that, lads. A surplus of 300,000 after the year, up 20,000 from 2020. So that's a positive thing. We have the age grade motions, which is going around at the moment in the divisions. We've seen the West were the first division to say that they'd be looking to run an under 21 grade next year. And the North have since followed suit. Is Joe Kennedy quickly quashed it and he didn't want to hear about it, but he has said that he's willing to talk to the divisions to see if it could run and not interrupt the overall fixtures plan. Sean, is this the club telling them that they want an under 21 championship come hell or high water?
It is, yeah, but I've seen them fall back and right, you play your division off there in front of us, not include the county, they'll wipe their hands of it. I know we played Sunday, they're gone. Like, the drum game now can't play across to Stephen's Day because they're playing football, intermediate, Munster. That's Stephen's Day. Young lads, like, to win that, they're playing mid-fine the following week. I know 21 games are great and all, but we have lads in our team that have been hurling their senior, like Darragh Sexton, he was field there in bits after, you know, went through the wars, same Paddy Green. Like, you know, it's a long year for these lads. It's a great grade, but you're depending on how our county teams are going as well and where they are. So it could be great to even run at division level, even without, say, running off without Drum Lynch, Grant running off, have our 2 weekends there in November. Be a great competition. Like, you know, so there is ways of running it off that would make it worthwhile, for sure.
Stephen, what's the word down in the south? Is this something that they'll be visiting, or is this something the clubs want?
Well, I think for the most part, everyone wants it. Everyone prefers an under 21 grade. The change of the grade years ago, I think, was it never gathered the public support at all. And it is too big a gap there. Especially if you're from a smaller club, if you're trying to make the breakthrough, you might not necessarily be on your senior or your intermediate first team. But when your last grade of hurling is 20, you know, it could be 22 or 3 before you're actually really starting to make inroads. And going back from 21 to 20 is taking a year, is adding another year of your, let's call it struggle. You're trying to get into your team, but you know, whereas you're playing competitive hurling at 21 years of age to the oldest level you possibly can. You know, and after that, then the breakthrough from until you're playing with your intermediate or senior club is a little bit shorter. Plus, you're more of a man. You're bigger, you're stronger, you're another year into your hurling. It was just a terrible call in the first place. And I know it was to do with Bourne out the player for T, but look, what we lost at minor and under 21 are what the rest time, you know, to avoid player burnout. So they were just in with the county teams that bit longer. It made no difference whatsoever, as far as I was concerned. And I think it's something. Look, as Sean said, if it's not if it's not going to be county related, if the divisions ran off a proper under 21 competition in a decent time of year, if they could, wouldn't it benefit the players a little bit more? You know, as there's only one team can represent the division, but every team can play under 21 in their divisions. I just think something has to be started. I'd like to see it go back to 21 myself.
Yeah. Well, we know it won't be till next year if that does happen.
Yeah.
We're moving on. So there was more motions here, just cherry picking a few. The Swan motion to alter the secret ballot rules. That is going to go to Congress, but it's a bit out of order, according to Joe Kennedy, and will be sent back. But the Swan's asked him to clarify his comments. And he said he's going to ask Croke Park about that. The Swan motion that put Tip forward to motion to Congress. So look, I think that's a great idea, lads. I think the secret ballot, look, you could be sending a rep from your club and you have an idea what he's going to do, but he could go behind your back in 2 seconds and change his mind if he was talking to this, that and the other. I think the secret ballot's I think it's a joke. I think everybody should be accountable for the vote that they place, and everyone should know, because you're relying on one person going in there and being honest, and you don't know if your club voted the way that everybody in the committee wanted to do it. Stephen, is this something that needs to be scrapped?
Absolutely. The whole secret ballot thing is, if you have a belief in something, why do you need to hide it? You know, if your belief is or if your club have sent you a directive of you're voting this way or whatever. I don't understand why that needs to be hidden. You know, the show of hands, whatever. I don't understand why you need to hide it. And what that does then is it takes a show of hands, takes off the table where, like, 60 lads out of 70 could vote one way, but if it's secret ballot, who knows?
Yeah.
You know, like, it removes all that controversy. Show of hands and be done with it.
It does stink, doesn't it, that it is like that. And you just know that it's been flouted, isn't it? Sean, there's a talk of three potential sponsors being spoken to at the minute. It's going to be announced in the next few weeks, apparently. This is a bit late coming, isn't it? It's been a nice while since Tenio have not renewed the sponsorship for next year. What sort of a sponsor can we expect to get here? We need somebody that's going to be have an open wallet for us after the money that we had from Tenio, and to be able to keep into JP over in Limerick.
Yeah, and like, I've heard no names mentioned, like, to be honest. Yeah. Any of the names that I mentioned there a few weeks back, they're not interested, as far as I'm aware. O'Neill's had up on their site that New Jersey's coming next April, so this could drag out a while, to be honest. We could have no one on Jersey for the league games. Must have talked some behind the scene. It's a difficult time. This COVID shite, like, it's companies are big, but like, who's there? Like, the big names that I mentioned previously, they don't seem to be interested. Like, we could end up with someone that has a business that no one even heard of again, like, then for kind of time again, you know. So,
It'll be interesting to see. Well, they'll more than likely, according to Joe Kennedy, have it done sooner rather than later. So, fingers crossed. That's all we have, lads, on the agenda. Do you have anything else, Dad? Anything else going on around the county?
No, I don't. I just want to touch back on the sponsorship there.
Yeah,
there's a strange one that, like, you know, the big clubs in Dublin, they can get the big clubs now. They get the big sponsorship, like, you know, it's a cooler sponsored by this is Tipperary and they're struggling to get a sponsorship. You know, it's not, without this being disrespectful, but it's not Carlow. It's not one of the smaller counties that might struggle to win, and they wouldn't be realistic All-Ireland contenders. Like, you know, it's a bad look that we're struggling to get a sponsorship, you know.
Yeah, it is. I wonder, is it a case that we're struggling or they're looking for a better offer somewhere? Look, I hope it's the latter, but you'd imagine with look, the Munster Championship's never been more competitive, and it's a with the way the football is going as well, it's going to be an even bigger product for the summer ahead. So you'd imagine there'd be companies interested. But look, we'll get sorted one way or the other, I'd imagine.
Yes. That's
all we have time for this week, lads. Keep an eye out on our social medias for a chance to win a prize with mystadiumseat.com. It's plastered all over our social medias, Instagram, Twitter. So keep an eye out for that. And make sure and hit the notification icon to keep up to date with all the latest episodes. We may or may not be back before Christmas, but if we don't talk to you till the new year, happy Christmas and happy new year. That's it. Tip it on a boo.
Hello.
Central Stadium, an iconic sporting venue. As part of a major fundraising drive, My Stadium Seat is offering you the chance to place your name or the name of someone who loves GAA on a seat at the Field of Legends. Packages from €100 include seat naming plaques, certs of authenticity, online biographies, and open day tickets. Show your support or make someone's Christmas. Visit mystadiumseat.com. Semple Stadium, where every name matters.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.